Hi, this is Lori, your host of Happiness Hangout, a space to come and elevate your happiness levels. You, me, and our guests will discuss and help you apply happiness to all aspects of your life, even if you're already happy. Get your daily boost of information to help you feel your best. Well, hi, everyone. This is Lori from the Happiness Hangout. Welcome back. And it is Wednesday and we are back with another live show. Excited to be here. And today, as you know, we always bring on a guest who can speak to happiness in relationships in one way or the other. And we're excited to have another guest this week to talk about how we can improve our relationships or how we can get a relationship if we don't have one. And how we can, you know, feel our best doing it. Because if you don't feel your best and you're not at your peak, it's tough to find the right person. So we're going to talk much more about that today. And I want to tell you who we have on our show. We have Susan McCord, a.k.a. Dear Cyber Sue. She's a dating relationship lifestyle talk show host, published author, interviewer, certified life coach, blogger, and advice columnist. She is a mature woman with a young, sassy attitude. She's been there and done that and has so many t-shirts, she could open a store. She's like the fun aunt you always wanted in your family. Susan has devoted her career to helping others find happiness. Over the past decade, she has established a stellar reputation as a sought-after dating and relationship expert. Susan has 18,700 followers on her blog, but is best known for hosting a relationship talk show for an international audience on YouTube. Her talk show, Cyber Sue, has garnered 1.5 million views, which consists of dating, relationship, lifestyle advice, interviews, and colorful comical skits. She has a great sense of humor, which she contributes to her weekly shows. Susan is an expert writer for SW Experts, Numi, Dear Cyber Sue advice column, regularly contributes to various online magazines, and appears as a guest speaker at dating venues all over the Vancouver area. She's appeared on CBS News, Toronto News Talk 1010, North of 49 TV, The Love Channel, The Linda Still Show, The Vancouver Sun, The Metro, 24 Hours Newspaper, and is a Quest blogger on many websites. Plus many more places I didn't even have time to mention. Susan left her long-term job as an international flight attendant to pursue her talk show and blogging career full-time. Susan McCord, Cyber Sue, if I may call you, welcome to the Happiness Hangout.
Thanks, Lori. That's quite the nice introduction. Thank you very much.
Well, so glad to have you. I have never had a relationship advice columnist on this show. So I'm very excited. I'm hoping that people that listen to the show today aren't just thinking it's for people who are dating, because really, you know, all of us have been in so many different areas of relationships. We have been from everything from single, many of us have been, you know, married, separated, divorced, starting over, trying to improve our current relationship, you know, and it's that age-old question, should I keep trying or should I not? So hopefully everybody who's joined us today realizes that we talk about many different aspects of the relationship era, and it's not just for dating. So I do want to start off by asking you how you got your start. Tell us a little bit about yourself. In other words, I know you started your talk show 8 years ago, and I know you came out of, you know, working internationally, and you really had a passion to do this, obviously. So tell us a little bit about yourself, how this all got started for you.
Well, I guess you could say I'm a little bit of an old soul. I was the oldest girl of five kids, and I was sort of put in the role of being the support team for everybody. So I learned really early on how to take on this responsibility role, which is a good thing and a bad thing, because sometimes you don't know when to quit the nurturing. So it's a long life lesson to understand that you need to get back as much as you give out. But what ended up happening was, because of this and everybody always asking me questions and advice, and I've always written. I started writing when I was 10 years old in a little diary journal thing, and I just sort of kept going. I just never stopped. And the more I wrote, the more I was able to get express things that was, you know, I was kind of holding on to as a kid that I couldn't get out. And so I just learned that writing was a really important way of expressing your emotions. And so I know there's a lot of other people who can't communicate verbally, so they write as well. There's a lot of sort of hidden emotions in, or not hidden emotions, but emotions that you're not dealing with on a daily basis that you can't put into writing. So I find that a lot of people are very comfortable coming to my advice column because they're kind of hiding behind their pens or their computers, so to speak, and they feel that they can ask the questions. They feel safe. So I just sort of kept going on it because I was getting a fairly decent response with my blogs and some of the advice questions that I was getting online.
And, you know, the transition that you must have made from writing by yourself and trying to get those emotions and those words out to actually doing it for a living, how was that transition for you?
It was a slow transition because I was still flying, and I started the talk show and the podcast, which we hadn't mentioned earlier, but I started the podcast earlier about back in 2005, and I was way ahead of my time because we actually live streamed it. So we were really ahead of our time back then. But then I just decided that video was where it was at, and YouTube was sort of becoming the big thing. And so I started doing that. So I did it while I was flying. It gave me another outlet other than just traveling. I needed something else. I've always been a very diverse woman that likes to have lots on my plate, and I like to learn something all the time. So it was kind of I sort of fell into it, and it just kept going and growing. And so it wasn't so much of a sudden change. It was gradual, and I decided I loved it so much that I decided to leave the airline. I took a buyout. They were offering buyouts at the time, and I took it, and I left. But it's not really so much to make a living. I did it to just pursue it and hopefully make a living out of it. It's a little slow going in the financial department, but... That'll come.
Well, you know, anybody who wants to follow their passion, make a complete career choice, you know, I did the same thing, you know, that you did. And the passion of it feels so good. And when you do start to make the income that comes along with it, it's, you know, it's truly a wonderful thing. And, you know, I really praise you for taking that leap and doing what you love to do. And you know, you have a lot of followers and a lot of people that come to you and say, hey, you know, I want to find out what you think. So with that being said, you have your advice column. Tell us a little bit about what that's like to write an advice column. What are the interesting questions you get? What comes up often? What are people struggling with? Just anything that you want to tell us about your column. We'd love to hear, because I think a lot of our listeners are probably have had the same questions or have been in the same boat, so to speak, one time or the other.
Right. Well, you know what? I think it takes a lot for somebody to actually get to the point where they feel that they can trust somebody enough to write them. So I take that very seriously when somebody does write me, because I know how hard that can be to let yourself sort of be vulnerable for that time. Even if it's behind a computer, it's still a vulnerable place that you're putting yourself. So the age groups, I get all age groups, because I always say my show is for 16 to 90-year-old. I don't put anybody out of the mix in this department, but... So I get a variety of age groups, but I do find right now I have a higher percentage of men at the moment. And I think that's because they trust me in the sense that I'm not judgmental. I am a mature woman, so I'm not, you know, I'm sort of looking at all sides of everything, and I've lived all sides of stuff. So they trust that with me, and I don't, when I answer them, I'm not giving them a hard time. I'm being very careful with my answers and making sure they really understand. So, but the couple of the questions that I get from men want to know why women are really high maintenance, and they think that women use men for, you know, their money, and they want to also know how to talk to women, and the women want to know why men can throw women away so easily, you know, when they break up, and how they always have somebody ready to go at the, you know, after their breakup. These are questions I get from a lot of women and men. Those are very common. And both sexes want to know why relationships are so difficult to find and why there aren't any quality people out there to date. And I always say to them, well, you're a quality person out there looking, so why wouldn't there be other why do you say there's no other quality people? Because that's something that we have to stop saying out loud, that there isn't anybody out there for us. I'm too old. Who's going to want me? All these negative questions or negative things that we put out there that keep the negativity coming back towards us, as you know, with the law of attraction, right?
Yes, and I'm a big follower of it. And you know, it's interesting what you say. You have so many types of people talking to you, and the thing is, you know, to our listeners, and you know, the majority of our audience, Susan, are going to listen to this through iTunes and Stitcher afterwards, but and they may not be live. And what I'd like to say is, you really have to have yourself in the right position to find that person. So when somebody tells me they can't find the right person, because, oh boy, I have been there. I didn't meet the person I was going to marry till I was 48, and I'm getting married in 3 months from now, and I'm going to be 53 years old one day into it, the day
atta
I get
girl,
married.
Girl, you go.
Well, and you know what?
You never gave up on love.
Well, I did for a long time, but you know, but when I came back, when I got it together, but you've got to get it together with you. So I would imagine the people you have calling, you talk to all kinds of different people, and some people have it more together than others. And that's the key. I really believe it always comes from within you. When you talk about the law of attraction, you know, you have to say, well, I'm putting out good out there, so good will come back at me. I am being the best person I can be. I'm being the kind of person who is, you know, open, so open people will come back to me. So how do you deal with the person if we're feeling kind of down? And I've been there, you know, so many of us have. When you're really feeling down, you're not there, and you're working with somebody like that in your advice column or on your show, how do you talk to people that aren't maybe really in the position to be finding the right person right now?
Well, I have a meetup group that I do in Vancouver, and this is one of the questions that comes up a lot. Like, how do I get out there and feel good? Or how do I feel good about myself when I'm not really ready to go out and mingle? How do I get to this other stage where I feel worthy, I feel that my self-esteem is back and all this? And the biggest thing that a lot of people do is they dwell on whatever it is that's going on in their life. So let's just say, you know, they're getting over a divorce. So they're spending probably 22 hours a day thinking about that. It comes back into their mind constantly. So what happens is there's no room for any positive energy to come towards you when the majority of your time is spent in that negative place. So what I suggest to them, if they're not ready to go out, not ready to mingle, I get that. I know what that's like. They don't want to be Debbie or Doug Downer. Sorry for Doug who answered the phone. But you know what I mean? You feel bad if you go out and you're not in the right form place in your mind. So I always tell people that they have to get themselves at least, you know, start slow, do an hour a day, even if it's 10-minute intervals, where they feel they put themselves in a happy place, whether it's watching a bunch of kittens jumping around on YouTube, whatever it is that makes them laugh, makes them forget. Because what's happening is the more that they think about it, the more it's staying within their psyche, and they just get more and more upset and become more and more depressed. So you have to remove yourself out of that mode of negativity before you can move on. You also have to own your part in why there was a demise of a relationship in the past, or whatever the pattern may be that you allowed to happen in your life. And that's a big part of healing and moving on, is owning it, owning some of the stuff that you may have contributed. Like maybe for you, Lori, going back to saying that took you a long time, maybe you weren't owning some of the things that happened that didn't make, you know, love work for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we all have a part in it, no matter.
Yes, we do. There's always two people, right?
Right.
And as much as we like to think it's the other person, because it's easier to think that way, when we get intelligent about it within ourselves and say, okay, what did I do here? How did I play a part in this? And once you kind of figure out, oh, maybe I shouldn't have reacted that way, or maybe I should have spoken up sooner, or these kind of things, you do start to, it kind of makes sense. It's like, as Oprah says, that aha moment.
And but I even if you're with a person, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, you go.
Even if you're with a person who isn't the best person in the world, it's easy to blame it on that person. But in the end, why are you even with that person?
Exactly. Like why did you attract them towards you?
You got to take some steps back, and you can always look at yourself. And that's where you do have control over things.
Yeah.
You do have control over you to say, okay, what's going on here? Why either am I with the wrong person, or why do I keep attracting the wrong people? Or if I'm in a relationship, why do I keep ending up at this place in this spot? And that's really on us to figure that out, because the easy way is just to say, oh, they're bad, they're bad. But eventually, if you're conscious enough, you're going to say, wait a minute, I see a pattern here,
And well, exactly. And if you look back at some of your past relationships, like I look back at my first marriage, and I don't think that either of us were bad people, but we were both not 100% who we were at that time. We were both had a little bit of vulnerability within us that we let things slide that maybe we shouldn't have let slide. And it wasn't the right time. We'd actually broken up once before we got married. There was problems before. But I was very young the first time. So, and then a lot of times what people do is they go, yeah, well, I've given it so many chances and the same thing keeps happening. And a lot of the times that is because they're not giving enough time between relationships, and they're picking up little pattern pieces that they may not even be aware of. They're bringing into the next relationship because they haven't dealt with it. So that's another big one.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So as you told us about some of the questions that you get, why aren't there good people out there? And like you said, I'm living proof that there is, and I know people. I had a conversation with some women today at a networking group I belong to, and each of us talked about all in different scenarios. One married for 20 years, one divorced and getting married, me getting married for the first time older, and another person, a traditional marriage. And everybody said the same thing. This person was so high quality, and they talked about the things that they did specifically to show how high quality they were. Sometimes you got to put yourself first, but they would think of things to do for the other person. Like, oh, wait a minute, she would love that. And, or it could be something like, you could feel that person was committed, the trustworthiness, the ethics in the way they live their everyday life. And we talked about many examples.
I think what you're saying and what is common with all of these people is they get it, number one. They get it that, yes, you do put yourself first. If you're not happy, your partner's going to be happy. So you've got to put that out there as a priority, so you are first in that respect. But if you keep putting your partner first and always thinking, you know what I mean, or at least equal with you, I guess, you always are going to have a nice response, because there's no room for negativity. There's no room for fights when you're always putting each other, you know, as a priority. What's to fight
True.
About? Right?
True. And life comes up. So we all know that not everybody's perfect. So
no, not everybody's perfect at all. But if you always think of something just a little bit each day, and that's another piece of advice I do give to long-term relationships, because I don't deal just with dating. I deal mostly with relationship, actually. And what I'm finding with people is they get bored because they're not putting any effort in. They're not trying anything new. They're not keeping it alive. They're existing. And the difference is, if you keep your relationship alive by being diverse and adding new things and putting that other person, keeping the sort of nurturing the love and the, you know, all the little things that you did in the beginning of a relationship, you keep those going, you will always have a healthy relationship. And that's what all those people, I think, are doing, the ones you were talking about.
You know, we talk a lot about on the show about gratitude and about being very aware of what you're grateful for. And actually, I do a lot of gratitude work because it follows very closely with happiness, like they're sisters mm-hmm. or brothers. Mm-hmm. And being conscious of that is so important. And it can change someone's mindset when you're, you know, I'm one who hasn't, I haven't experienced the marriage for as many years as other people have. And it gives me hope when I see other people doing it. So we know it's possible. And, you know, I guess what I would ask is, in this day and age, things are so different. Like, I was a high schooler of the 80s. And now with all this technology and the changes in our world, when you look at somebody either especially trying to date or people trying to take their crazy lives, get off their phones and technology, what are the obstacles and what's some of the advice you've given people in terms of how to either date or get their relationship back up to speed in this day and age with all we have going on?
Well, the first thing is the social media, well, whatever you want to call it, the iPhone, the computer app, dating sites, apps, whatever people are using nowadays. And this is a big, this is where I feel kind of bad for the millennials, because that's all they know. They are so plugged in that it becomes a problem. And now all of a sudden, here they are at 18 years old on a dating site, because they're not meeting people face to face. And even when they do go out and be social in a group, they're so addicted to Instagram and Facebook and Tinder and whatever else they've got on their phone as an app, that they're not even looking up and talking to each other when they're in a group. And I see this. I go out a lot. I'm always very social. So I see this everywhere I go. And I'm saying, people that are having troubles dating, if you want to start dating and meeting somebody, you have to look up. And they aren't. They're looking down at their iPhones. And the thing is, for older, like, let's say over 40, especially single women over 40, because most single women over 40 don't want to go sit in a bar by themselves. They feel like they look like they're out looking for something and they don't feel comfortable. So for a lot of women, they're, you know, going on these sites and they're frustrated with it because they're not used to it. And the problem is, it's just becoming the norm. And this is the new millennial. This is why we have to bring back the old school way of meeting each other face to face. We have to get out. We have to mingle. Whatever age you are, whether you're 50, 60, or 19 years old. And this is becoming a big problem because of, I mean, there's some great things that come out of it too, because when you're 40 and you can't get out and meet people and you have a dating site option, that's a good thing, as long as you're safe and you kind of learn the ways around it. It can work really well. But it's a real push-pull, because you've got that, you know, you're not looking at each other and you've got all these social media places to go visit. But what are they doing? Because people just flip to the next one, next, or they have 10 people they're seeing in 2-week period. So it's very frustrating for a lot of people.
Well, you know, there's certain things with technology, like with anything in life, it's not going to be 100% cure. So although we've got dating sites, we've heard of people meeting and marrying in so many unique ways now. And one I find particularly interesting is Facebook. I can't tell you the number of people who have either especially remet after tons of years from high school or college or whatever, who end up either becoming friends or dating or even marrying. And it's kind of cool because, listen, we're not who we were in high school. We're not even maybe who we were in college or 10 years ago. So it's like, okay, I have a certain trust level. I know their family. We grew up in the same, you know, city. I know they're most likely not crazy, most likely. And so I'm ready. I could take a chance because there's some familiarity with that person. And then they end up getting together, which is kind of the cool thing about social media. Do you agree, or have you found
Absolutely. That's what is in my long, convoluted way of trying to get around that question you asked me, is there is a lot of good as long as you know how to look up and be a normal person outside of social media. Don't forget to say hi. Don't forget to look people in the eye and just smile as you walk down the street. But Facebook has been amazing for a lot of people. And as you say, it's a safety thing because they know them. And I always say, when people ask me that question is in some of my advice columns, they asked me that, and they go, what do you think? I go, absolutely give it a shot. If you had any kind of, you know, something, if you had something with them before, especially, if you're just getting to know them again, but you always thought they were a nice person, why not give it a shot? Absolutely. I think that's fantastic.
So the obstacle is when you can't get off social media, but when it works in your favor is if you use it as a potential starter point, and then you say, okay, now we get together.
You know what? It's so much like the Facebook thing. It's like going to a reunion, or your high school reunion, and your 10-year, your 20-year, your 30-year, your 40-year, whatever. It's kind of like that, in a sense, because you already know the people. You might not have known them that well in school, but you knew of them, and you thought they were nice people. So you're following up on it because you've got that platform that's available to you. And it, for the most part, if you know them, it is a safe place to be. And especially if you're over 40 or later on in life, because you don't know what you're supposed to do, where you're supposed to go, or who you're supposed to meet. So it works really well for a lot of people.
Right. I mean, it, like anything, you just have to know how to use things the way they should be used. And that's anything in life. And sometimes we take things too far, and sometimes we don't give things a try, et cetera. So I do want to mention, we do have Susan McCord, AKA Cyber Sue, with us today on the Happiness Hangout. And if you would like to call in, again, the majority of our listeners are going to hear this through podcast, but if you are listening live, you have a question for Cyber Sue, call us at 888-627-6008. And again, that's 888-627-6008. So, Cyber Sue, I want to go on and ask you about, you know, you mentioned earlier in the show about men asking certain questions of, why do women seem like they're just out to get what they want? Why do men seem like they can leave you in a heartbeat? Tell us some, let's start with men to women. What advice do you give to men about how to find a woman of substance, a woman that would be somebody they'd want to be with on the long term? What's the kind of advice you give when they ask you those questions and they're struggling?
So can you sort of give me a question that you would want
a man might ask? Sure. So let's say a guy says something like, listen, I think I'm a pretty nice guy. I have a good job. You know, I've never hurt anybody. I'm just, you know, I'm just out there. I got divorced, and I'm looking to find somebody who's, you know, a really nice person and just wants to be with somebody and have a nice life together. I don't, you know, I keep running. It looks like a lot of women out there are out there partying, or, you know, cause they're divorced and they're living their 20s and their 40s. And I can't really find somebody who I feel like is somebody who has a lot of substance. So how am I going to go out there and find these kind of women?
Well, I think one of the things that I would say to men, since we're talking about men, is I do find, until I get talking to them and going back and forth a little bit via email or whatever, that they do tend to lump women into a category. Mm. So they're either boring and they don't want to do anything category, or they're all the B word and trying to get a hold of your wallet. So a lot of men seem to are holding on to maybe what happened to them in a past relationship, where maybe the woman took them for something, or the type of women that they're going for are quite high maintenance, and they don't realize that they are, because they're going for the looks and the body over everything else. Even the nice guys can do this sometimes, and they don't realize that their type is why they're starting to get frustrated, because they keep going for the similar type. And then they lump everybody, women into the same category, rather than treating each woman as an individual. And once you start saying, but all women are like this, or all men are like that, that's, again, what I said earlier, is what you're attracting towards you. If you're very open to really being true to yourself, that you really do want a nice woman, and you want somebody, you know, around your age that you can do things with, that's what you have to look for. You've got to look for a woman who's might not be the party type going downtown. If they're looking online and they read her profile, she's likes some home things. She likes to cook. She likes these kind of things. If they're really that type of man that wants the simple life. But I find a lot of guys kind of want that really kind of hot-looking girl, but yet with it comes a lot of problems.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, they're sort of saying they want this, but they really want somebody who's a little bit, you know, hot and young and all that kind of stuff. And so women get frustrated with that, too, because they say that's all the men want is the young girls.
And there's a lot of beautiful women who aren't dressing like that, but can you kind of see past that? So it's a balance that, you know, again, it's part the person themselves. And I know I dated the same I call it dating the same person over and over and over again, but they're really different people, you know, and realizing, oh, geez, that I came to an epiphany that, this is really me. And now I got to go dive into this and figure this all out, which took quite a long time too. So,
but you owned it, right? And then you went on a different path.
Eventually, when I was conscious of it. And I think a lot of people aren't very conscious of it. So sometimes you got to give, you know, different kinds of people a try. And that, you know, no, you shouldn't be with somebody who's boring. And no, you shouldn't, you know, but you got to find that happy medium. But it always goes back to us. And it always goes back to how we're feeling about ourselves, about life, about other people. Because I do believe you attract it, because I know I couldn't forever and ever and ever and ever. And then finally, you know, I'd let it go. And I did. Because when you're in a marriage, boy, that looks thing is important, but there's got to be so much more. And, you know, I understand people, you know, if they're getting divorced, and, you know, I know a lot of men, including my dad. My mom passed away in her 50s, and my dad wasn't with somebody for a long time. And I found it very interesting that my dad married a woman who was my mother's polar opposite in every way, every way. Mm. And you wonder sometimes if people think, you know what, I really want to, I know what this is like. Now I would like to sort of be with somebody who's not the same. I don't know how often you find that with people who are starting over. I'm sure it's a mixed group of things. But, you know, and I'm going to always go back to looking within yourself.
It really depends on how you've grown after each breakup. And I mean, maybe you only had, and I find with sometimes, and men might get mad at me for saying this, but I do find men hold on to, if the woman leaves them, they hold on to it pretty deep for quite a while. And sometimes I've had quite a few guys write me really angry. And on my YouTube channel, I get a lot of, well, not a lot, actually. I am pretty lucky. I don't get a lot of troll type people writing me, but I do get the odd guy writing saying, you can tell he's really angry. And he'll make all these comments about women, and then I say, well, why are you writing underneath this video if you don't feel that way, you know, about, you know, women or whatever? Because when somebody's hurting, they go to the thing that makes them hurt, because they want to get it out, but they don't know how to, so they'll vent with anger, or they'll repeat the pattern with somebody very similar to get it out in whatever way they have to. But it's not a good place to be. You know, I talk to these men with their anger, and there's women too, but we're talking about men for a minute here. And I've just said to them, you've got to get past this place you're in, because you're lumping all women as B-I-T-C-H, you know, and you're lumping every woman as the cheater or as a money person, and because they got really hurt by one woman. And this is because what you just finished saying, their attitude, their place where they are within themselves. They're not healing because they're not allowing themselves to move on and get what happened, own their part in it, so they can move on to a better place.
So if you keep a track going towards the same kind of woman, there's a chance, a good chance, you're going to have the same kind of outcome, you know, logically. So that kind of makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, and I think, too, with men tend to be a little more visual creatures. Women, we're more nurturing. We're more forgiving. Somebody has a little bit of a tummy as a guy. You know, he's a really great man. And, you know, we tend to be a bit more of the, you know, the nurturer. And so we will, you know, most many women, I don't want to get myself in trouble here, many women will let some of those things go, whereas men are visual. So it's, they're very attracted to what they're, you know, is important to them for looks. So that will be their first thing, a lot of them do. And it, depending on their age group, they will continue to keep bringing that towards them, and it doesn't work for them because they're not bringing a woman of substance necessarily towards them. They're bringing the looks and the body first, and they're not bringing the whole package. So
yeah,
then they start getting angry.
They're going to look for that after, and then they're not going to find it.
No, the trick is to be, you nailed it a couple of times today, is you need to be at peace with yourself and how you feel about how you're living your life and respect yourself. Because if you're angry about something or you're not past a breakup or it could be a family situation, something that was really hurtful to you as a kid, that like an abandonment issue, or there's all sorts of things that stay within you, until you realize that's the problem. Some people never realize it, and they keep making the same mistakes over because they're looking for something. Maybe there was a void that they had growing up, and they want that filled, and they're not choosing the right people to fill that because they're familiar with the abandonment side of it. You know what I mean? So they keep repeating
right. That.
I know it sounds so analytical,
No, it makes perfect sense. And, you know, all of us can do that, not just men. It's obviously you're saying
Yeah. Anybody
can do that, because until we work out that stuff that happened to us when we were younger, and if it stays with us and we haven't worked it out, we take it into every part of our lives.
Yes, so and naturally, I should have clarified that. I didn't mean it just towards men. I meant it towards both sexes. You're right, because if we're holding on to anything that's deep-rooted, unless we deal with that, it's going to stay there, and it's just going to keep growing more and more roots on it, and then it's going to be so hard to get through at all.
And then think about how easy it is when you have a partner to try, you know, they say we try to work out our stuff through our partner. Well, imagine, you know, you've got deep-rooted stuff. Until you work that out, you know, sometimes people are lucky enough to work it out through a partner. But, you know, I know personally I went within myself to work it out. But some people do stay together and have enough substance and enough together and enough love that they can work out some of their stuff, you know, with helping each other. But, you know,
That also could be because of they've chosen each other because they have similar stuff they have to work out.
Yeah.
Because sometimes we're attracted to people, we don't even realize it, but we see certain things with them that they've also dealt with, but we don't really get it until we start talking to them. And then we go, oh, okay, I see why we are drawn towards each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what the old like attracts like, or like-minded people, you know, bringing other people towards them. And so it depends what you're going through. You're going to be bringing that towards you. If you're on a path to healing, you're probably going to, hopefully, bring somebody who's already healed or is close to healing like you are.
Right. The problem is when you bring somebody at your level, if you're not at that level, then you got to work through it. And that often manifests and looks like arguing, looks like criticizing. It may look like negative emotions because you're all trying to, you know, work those things out with yourself, and you're taking it out on your partner. So a lot of people have problems like that. They don't even know why that's happening, but it is happening because you are in the same headspace.
People will bring out things you never even knew you had in you. It just depends on the person. And so I always say, you know, sometimes it can be a long stepping stone to getting to the, you know, across the water, so to speak.
So, yeah,
but I mean, I always look at relationships as, I always say, don't ever look at anything as a waste of time, because you were in there for whatever time. And same with you, for being in your situation for quite a few years, you needed to take your time to get to the place you're at now. I mean, I know we all sit there and go, well, why did it take so long? But sometimes it does. Sometimes we're not ready to heal or to figure out what it is that's bugging us, you know, or what's holding us back. I mean, same thing in a career.
You're going to get hit in the head enough times that eventually you know, you're going to say, okay, you know, I've been hitting the head enough. I've got it now. And a lot of people don't understand that part about healing, that they'll attract themselves towards the kind of person that, that they want to use, not in the use normal kind of way, but they want to use that person to help them heal. So yeah. If, you know, if that person, like you said, is close to healing, that can be a wonderful thing. But if they're in the same boat, you know, you can make it. It's just a matter of the dynamics between the two. You can make it.
Like
you might
have to
not
be careful who you let in to steal so much of your light. Like it really needs to have some reciprocation that you're both giving and taking in your partnership. And that goes with a new relationship. That goes with being in a relationship for 10 years or to, in your case, getting married. As long as you're reciprocating and giving each other time to have their say in what's going on, then it's healthy. If it's always one person that needs the assistance or needs the, you know, that pat on the back, then that gets old after a while, and that causes a lot of problems in relationships, the longevity of a relationship, because people don't realize that they are becoming repetitive with what they need to work on, and the other person's exhausted because they keep giving all their white light to this person.
Right.
And that's why it's really, really important to try to be at the same place mentally, emotionally, with when you're meeting somebody or you're with somebody, because otherwise that's why relationships fizzle and break up, because it becomes too much for one of the people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's so many dynamics that go into a love relationship. So many. It's amazing anybody gets it right. And there are people who do. We see it and it gives us hope. So everybody wants to try that. Because back in the day, I used to think, okay, there's a couple couples, two or three couples in my world that have, I think, an amazing relationship. And I'm going to be real open. At the time, it was only like two. And that couple was not my parents. It was my aunt and uncle and a sorority sister who dated her beloved since they were 13. Okay, that's all I had. Now I see a lot more. Well, I see a lot more because I'm in the right headspace to see a lot more. And I have one of them, you know, at least, you know, we've only been together a little over 4 years, but you know, I have one of those. And now mm-hmm. I see, I have been introduced to a lot more of those kinds of couples and I can see them out there and you know that they exist. So people want that so much, but there's so many darn dynamics that if you don't have you straight, if you've got you straight, I think you got to really high chance of bringing somebody into your life that is going to be a really good fit. And, you know, cause you gotta be, you know, sexually, emotionally, spiritually, everything, you know, all that stuff is supposed to come online and you're supposed to have a certain level of that with your person. And that's a lot to ask. So if you're not ready for it,
when you're in a healthy place, you're going to attract healthy people towards you. And
right.
we all have our path that sometimes takes a while to get to it. But the fact that we keep working on ourselves, we will get there. And some of us take longer than others. It's not a bad thing. It's just, you know, once you realize it, it's a lot easier to get there. I mean, look at yourself. Like, I think once you figured everything out and then you met your guy, right? So because you're in a healthier place and you understand things about who you were and how you know, what you needed to deal with. And now you're also seeing other healthier couples out there because you're drawing them towards you probably because you're in that place.
I mean, no matter what we talk about on the show, the message is always look inside, you know, first.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, we've been talking about the guys and we got kind of, you know, big picture about it. But, you know, when I know when you talk, when you said for me to ask you a question, you know, I'm around a lot more women and, you know, women's issues tend to be, why does he act like such an ass? I mean, why does he act like such a jerk? Why, you know, why can't I find somebody who treats me, you know, in a wonderful way? That's what I hear most of. You know, why does this guy always, you know, why do they act so perfect at first and then you see the real them and the real them isn't very kind? I hear that a lot from women. I don't know about you.
No, yeah, but you know what they're actually saying? I mean, you said it in a much nicer way. What they're doing is they like the bad boy. And when they say, oh, he's really nice in the beginning, he was probably good for the first couple of dates. And what we do as women is we hang on to those really good things really early on and ignore all the red flags.
Yep.
So we have those couple of things that we're really attracted to him. Oh, he's so sexy. Oh, he's hot. Or, oh, he's got a good job. Or, oh, he's got a great, you know, he's super athletic. Or all the little things that we hang on to as women. And then what we do is we let things slide. And so the red flags that are there because the guy's probably showing them to these women, they're ignoring them. And so what happens is they get frustrated because they keep attracting that same kind of guy towards them that is a bit of a bad boy. Like, okay, let's talk about, like, right now, I don't know what age group you were talking to with these women, but I find a lot of girls around 25 to 35 in that age range have been talking to me and saying that all men expect them to have sex on the first date. And I say, nobody, you don't have to do anything you don't want to do. Because they say, well, if they do it, they don't hear from them. Well, they might hear from them once or twice, but they don't hear from them much about it. And I said, well, you don't have to do anything you don't want to do. Never, ever think that those expectations have to be met if you think that's what the guy's expecting. And then I said, you know, nice guys don't have to be boring. They don't have to be a doormat either. Like, a lot of women think that they're not bringing in bad guys or bad boys, but they actually are, because they say they get bored with a guy that's too nice. So what happens, they tend to choose drama-filled partnerships over healthy scenarios over and over again. And then what it does is it takes a big, you know, toll on their self-esteem, and eventually it wears them down to either being angry at men or depressed about their lack of meeting somebody of substance.
Well, that makes a lot of sense because, you know, and I've met people who have actually gotten to the point of marrying those people, and, you know, other things get in the way, like she's physically beautiful. So the guy, even though he's a bad boy, will hang on and say, well, I'm going to marry her. And the woman is like, I got the guy who's hot, who has the money, who has this and a charisma. I mean, they're like everything, but it always eventually wears out. Because it comes down, because it comes down to your soul. I mean, it comes down to your heart in the end, because life happens. And when people get sick and people die, which you're not maybe thinking about, most people in their 20s, but when you get older and big things happen, like job losses and sick children, and it's like, boy, you better have a person of substance there. And I get that because I did love the bad boys. But again,
most girls do, and they don't even realize it. They don't realize it. And same with the guys picking all these girls that are high maintenance. It's the same thing. It's like a bad girl. And we can be so superficial sometimes, but what do we see? First thing we see when we meet somebody, we're not sitting there, you know, hearing their voice for an hour before we meet them, usually, unless we're talking to them on the phone. But it's a physical connection immediately when you meet somebody, whether it's online, on an app, or in person. So it's just human nature to be attracted to the physical first.
Right.
And it gets us into trouble, both sexes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And online's even worse, because that's what you've got for quite a while, right? It's the picture.
Yes. Yes, and
so
you know
this is
funny.
Why it's becoming more of a problem. And the women are getting frustrated, and the men are getting frustrated, and each other's lumping each other into certain categories of the same old, same old. And I say, no, it's you just got to change it up. Who you're dating? If you always go for the blonde girl with the 36 D's, go for a brunette that's smaller, busted, and athletic, or something. Try something different. And same for the girls. Go for a nice guy who's, you know, believes in you know, being in the house and likes cooking and stuff like that. Like, try it all. But
watching,
we all lump it into one category and stay in that category.
Well, that's why it's so nice when you can get to know somebody and talking with them as a friend. But we all know if you keep in the friend zone too long, they don't even feel like it's somebody they can date. But when you get to know somebody enough, they start, you know how it's interesting how somebody starts to get better looking because of their personality? And that is like fascinating and so true. But when you can do that, that's when you're past the looks part. Oh, they're very cute, but I got to know them and I've talked to them and I'm really attracted to more of the whole being. And like you said, on the dating sites, you can't get that at first. You have to hope when you meet them, if they really look like their picture, that you connect, you know. That's a whole other story, right? We didn't even need to start with that. But if you do get to talk to them, that there's something, you know, really special there, if you can get past that. It's tough. I mean, and you know what I was thinking when you were talking? Ego and self-esteem. So especially the ego. Oh my gosh. I mean, especially if you're insecure, your ego will just fight and fight and take over. And until you let that ego down a little bit to say, you know, hey, I can let lots of people in. I'm not perfect. I could find a person who perhaps, you know, is perfect fit for me. But you got to really let that ego down. So that's hard. But you've got to let the ego down.
Ego, you're right. And both sexes have ego. Everybody always thinks that when we say the word ego, we're meaning men. Both women. I mean, mm-hmm. The minute you say, I want this, I like that, that's your ego talking. So everybody has that. The trick is to learn how not to be so superficial. And I really, really recommend, and I mean, a lot of men have got really mad at me about this one, but I really recommend for both sexes not to jump into bed before you've had a couple of dates, because at least a couple of dates. Because what happens is once you start putting the physical, the sexual part on the forefront, and that's already happened, you're kind of already at that stage where I don't even know how to explain it. It's like you're not getting to know them because you've seen such an intimate side of them already, but you don't know the other side of them. And I think it's really important that to get to know the whole person before you jump into bed with them. Because first of all, why are you jumping into bed with somebody you don't even know if you like yet?
I mean, that's really a whole other can of worms. I mean,
yeah. I mean, I always say that to people. I go. Or the guys will say, oh, now she's phoning me all the time and she's, you know, kind of becoming a bunny boiler. And I go, well, what's jumping to bed with her so quickly for? You don't know her. You don't know what kind of woman she could be. And same for the women, what kind of man he could be. So I always say, don't give all that away so quickly. If the guy likes you and he's attracted to you, he'll see you again. Don't worry about losing each other because you don't have, you know, sleep together right away.
I totally believe that he will stay. I totally believe that.
And also, they really like you, they'll stay. It's a little bit of a challenge, too. I mean, I know that's not what you're supposed to be talking about, but sometimes if you're not always so there and giving everything away for, you know, easy stuff, it leaves a little mystery. And I did a video and a blog on this recently about to keep your, and this is good for you, too, because you're going to be married soon. Keep a little mystery always in your relationship. And I don't mean playing games. I don't mean being evasive and making your partner squirm and always having to try and figure out. But enough of a mystery that it's always fun to be with each other. You're always thinking of something fun to do, or you're not giving every single piece of you. Because you're the main course. Your partner is that, you know, icing and cherry on the top of who you already are. And that's the way, I mean, maybe that sounds like not that impressive for, you know, for the partner, but it really is, because if you're happy with who you are, you've got a great attitude about everything, they come in and they just make everything, the dessert is just there. Everything flows.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so, but if you keep a little bit of mystery, a little bit of fun and brattiness and playfulness in your relationship, no one's going to get bored. There won't be time for boredom. Because that's the biggest thing for breakup.
Keep things going. Keep it exciting. Try different things. That makes,
be diverse.
It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, be diverse with who you are as in your own person and with your partnership and just everything you do in life. Just try something new all the time. And if you are in a place of, you know, depression or sadness about your choices and relationships, start by, you know, not thinking about it 24 hours a day. Every day, try and add a little bit more excitement or something fun and humorous to your day. And eventually, once you don't think about that anymore and put so much energy into that, you will attract somebody better towards you.
Well, you know what? That's a great place to end. And we have just 1 or 2 minutes. And Susan McCord, a.k.a. Cyber Sue, tell us how we can get a hold of you. Tell us about what you're doing in the next minute or so. Tell us about what you're doing and how we can reach you.
Anytime anybody wants to write me, my email is Dear Cyber Sue. So it's with an S. A lot of people think it's cyber with a C, but it's Cyber Sue with an S at gmail.com. So that's anytime anybody wants to contact me about advice or anything, you know, if they want help with something. And my YouTube channel is also Dear Cyber Sue, one word. And anytime you come on there, make a comment or love to hear from anybody. And if you've got a show topic for me that you want me to do a show on, please send it to my email at DearCyberSue@gmail.com because I love doing shows on what people have questions about.
Well, wonderful. And I know that you have a book also. So on you have a website that people can find, CyberSue.com.
Yes, CyberSue. I'm all CyberSue everywhere. CyberSue.com, yes. Again, with an S. So Cyber, CyberSue.com is my website. And I'm on Instagram, I'm on Twitter, I'm on everything. So
so we can find everything from your website.
Yes, and my book is also called Dear Cyber Sue, and it's on, it's just, I call it like a little nighttime Bible that you just read over and over again just to keep you focused and remind yourself of, you know, that there's love for everybody at every age. Don't, never give up on love. Love is what makes the world go round, and we need it in our lives, and it's very important. And anyway, I've got it on e-books and everything. So it's just a simple little read, and quite a few men have read it, and they like it because it's not a large read. Mm-hmm. You know, it's only about 200 pages or something like that.
Well, outstanding. Well, we're so glad that we got to talk to you today, Susan. We've had a great conversation. Happy to have you on the Happiness Hangout. And you can reach, again, Cyber Sue at www.cybersue.com, and that's cyber with an S. So Susan McCord, thank you so much for being on the Happiness Hangout.
Thank you for having me, and good luck. I can't wait to hear all about your marriage and wedding and everything.
Well, thank you so much.
Okay, thanks, Lori.
Sure, thank you. And everyone, thank you for being or joining us on the Happiness Hangout tonight. Want to remind you to go to happinesshangout.net, where you can sign up for my Happiness Quick Reads. You'll also get a gratitude gift, a gift on how to bring more gratitude into your life. So go to www.happinesshangout.net. Thanks, everybody. See you in 2 weeks on the Happiness Hangout.
Hi, this is your host, Lori. Want to get more happiness? Check out all the free readings, activities, and my blog at my website. Want to learn how to deal with life's challenges from your positive core? Check out Empowering Yourself to Happiness class, done totally online. You can find it all at www.happinesshangout.net. www.happinesshangout.net. Come explore and feel better wherever you are. This is Lori Peters with the Happiness Hangout. I provide presentations on happiness and well-being to businesses, schools, and anyone involved in wellness and professional days. Check out tons of free resources and activities also at my website, www.happinesshangout.net. Feel better wherever you are. Help us grow the Happiness Hangout Show. Become a sponsor. Businesses and nonprofits, get your info out there to thousands of my listeners all over the world for just pennies. Individuals can also sponsor one or more shows, and you get a shout out to your favorite charity. Several packages available. Come see what you get and put out there what's important to you. Go to www.happinesshangout.net. www.happinesshangout.net. www.thehappinesshangout.net for more information.